I couldn't have timed that if I'd tried. That's it. That's the sneezing is the new amen, says Charles. I thought that was pretty good. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to see everyone. Welcome to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. We greet you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we're glad that you're here to worship with us in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. To anyone and everyone, just remember, Great Stories of the Bible does not meet tonight because of a little football game, I think, maybe something going on. Cook's Session, though, does meet today at a different time, though. If you have forgotten, we're meeting, the session of our church meets immediately following our worship service at 11:15 in the Fellowship Hall. We still have a couple of dates available for the flower calendar, the 27th of February, April 3rd, and October 16th. If you'd be interested in providing flowers for one of those occasions, please let Cheryl in the church office know. We're still in immediate need of ushers and sound techs and some men to commit to locking up. That's coming along, but please, if you're interested in any of those roles, speak to Denise Veed or Mike Stanford this morning. They're both here, and I'm sure would be delighted to talk to you. The beautiful flowers in the sanctuary this morning are in loving memory of Jerry Sifford, whose birthday was February the 4th, by Lynn and Marcia Sifford. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any that need to be brought to the congregation's attention at this time? Kelly. Yeah, thank you. Jeannie McClure, one of our members, lost her brother very unexpectedly yesterday afternoon. For those of you who know Jeannie, this was not the brother that has been experiencing heart difficulty, a different brother. And so the loss was very sudden and, as I've said, unexpected. Thank you, Kelly. Any other announcements? Okay, that being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving.
Let us make joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
Let us pray. Gracious and most wonderful Father, when we rise, even on these winter days, and look out and see and survey the wonders of your handiwork, we are amazed, O Lord. Gracious God, this morning, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that that sense of awe, that sense of wonder that we experience each and every day that we come into your world, would be magnified, Heavenly Father. Make us aware of your presence. Allow us to know your word, and most especially, Father God, enable us to be in relation with your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, use this service and all of its elements to foster that sense of relationship between ourselves and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Allow us to hear and see and feel and experience that which is godly, that which is holy, that which will help us make a difference in the world in your name. We make these prayers in that holy and awesome and wonderful name, the name that was present before creation, the name that's present with us now in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the name that will cause new heavens and new earth to become again and to fuse again so that our space and God's space might again, as it was in the beginning, be one space. We make these prayers to you this day in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For those of you who are able, please rise now and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 41.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ declares himself to be our friend in the Gospel of John, that is true. And just like a good friend who covers for us when we've made errors, Jesus Christ, we know, has atoned for us through his life, death, and resurrection. And as such, we come into times of confession with the sure knowledge that even though we stray, even though we sin and fall short of the glory of God, there is a power, there is a forgiveness, there is at the center of this universe a love that manifests itself in eternal forgiveness. And we are the people who confess our sins, and we do so boldly because we expect to be greeted not with condemnation, but instead with that amazing grace that we love to sing about. So join me this morning as we corporately confess our sin together using this morning's prayer of confession found in the worship bulletin. Join me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved your neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. To the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Having heard the good news of our forgiveness and sung to its God's glory, it's right and fitting that we turn our attention to the professing of what it is we believe. The words this morning we use are ancient. They come from the Apostles' Creed. We say them together, declaring what it is we believe about our faith in Jesus Christ. Join me as we declare it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in our meditative hymn number 724.
Thank you.
seat here for a time that's just for them with Miss Petey.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your greatest gift to us.
Thank you for your greatest gift to us.
Jesus. Let us remember the love that we need to share with each other.
The love that we need to share with each other.
Amen.
Having heard the, it's time that we now come into the Word of God. We as Presbyterians believe very closely and sincerely in the ongoing way that the Lord vivifies us, that is, brings new life into our hearts and minds through the proclamation and reading of His Word. As Christians and as Presbyterians, this forms the center part of our worship service, that we prepare for the work that we're going to be doing. The sermon thus stands as a time in which we hear God's word proclaimed and then prepare ourselves for the work that He would have us do. So join me as we prepare for this august work, as we offer up to the Lord a prayer for illumination. Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit's power, speak anew to us, O Lord. Allow this to be, in this reading and proclamation of your word, a new beginning in our lives. Allow it to be the starting point from which we continue to hear you, but hear you in a new and different way. Enable us to be brought alive. Enable us to be your new creation. We make these prayers to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen.
Good morning. Today's new Old Testament lesson will be from Genesis 1, 1 through 9, and that can be found on page 1 of your pew Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And so it was. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered in one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever.
Yeah, I think Heather heard me when I realized. I knew that Valentine's Day was Monday, but I didn't connect Valentine's Day with today, and I realized, wow, what a great time to do a sermon on love. That's not what y'all are getting today, but in a way, all the sermons, though, and I don't say that glibly. No. We got that. I can understand that for sure. But we'll have a new beginning here in a little while at around 6:15, I gather. There'll be the kickoff, and we'll have yet again another Super Bowl. Beginnings, as I've said, can be like such beautiful and wonderful things. Again, when I think of some of the great beginnings in my life, I turn and I can't help but think about what we were talking about. I think about the very beginning of our marriage. I can remember my Uncle Merrill, a dear man, a significant figure in my life even to this day, giving me all the advice for marriage that he had spent 50 years coming up with, and I'll share it with you this morning. When he said to me, he said, "Jason, the key to marriage is to keep your head low and keep moving." His advice. I'll never forget that. In that wonderful beginning, I'll also never forget that my sister, with a rambunctious son who was our ring bearer, took the time to really, really tie that ring on the pillow. And had it not been for the pastor being a Boy Scout and having a pocket knife in his underneath his robe, we'd still be at that altar trying to undo those knots, I think. Beginnings are wonderful, wonderful things. I can remember when both of my children came into the world, I can remember the specialness and the almost holiness of those moments. Because there, staring at new life, you realize that there is an adventure yet to be had. And it's open and wonderful because it's covered by the Lord our God. Those beginnings, of course, we get to see. But some, you know, some beginnings we don't get to see. Ben and Lily were both in the room, but I don't think they probably have any memory of those first moments. Certainly, I don't have memories of those first moments. Some beginnings we don't get to see. And that's why we are ever so grateful from these words that David has just read to us from the book of Genesis, that recount and record for us what things were like in the very, very beginning. And again, even though particle physicists and scientists haven't quite gotten to the exact order or nature of the events, I think everybody's of the mindset that something happened that was wonderful. Something so wonderful that we can't even calculate it in our minds, because in that moment of birth, the birth that we just heard about that took place through the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in that wondrous new beginning, something happened. And whether it was a big bang or something of the sort, everything that we're ever going to encounter came into being in that one blessed second. And unless we completely lose sight of it, or we miss the magnitude of just how big a thing this was. I had the chance to do a little research this morning, and I realized that in our universe, in what was started and begun in that very first moment that we read about, as God's Word spoke and creation began, what was put into motion there sees today about 2 trillion galaxies. We are but one of the many. In that world, there are over, in those 2 trillion galaxies, there are at least 200 billion trillion stars. I can hardly imagine the number at all. But it gets even more amazing when we think about it. Because, as I understand it, there are something on the magnitude of 400 quintillion planets. All of this began, had a beginning point, and it came as God spoke words, separating light from darkness and water from dry land. It became what it is today. And we're bound to be astounded, awestruck, frightened perhaps even, by the power of a God that can do those kinds of things. We can't hold in our heads a billion, and yet there are more planets than every one of us in this room could even fathom. And they're there, and then an abundance more. That kind of power is, as I've said, frightening if you plumb right down into the middle of it. That kind of power is so removed from our ability to conceptualize that the only response that we have left is to cower in front of it. Or it would be. It would be if it weren't for these words that we've just read. Because what we've read in this account from Genesis is that this beginning had an author. It wasn't random. It wasn't purposeless. It was deliberate. And it had a point to it that undergird and underlined all of this creation. And we cannot miss that. That power, that frightening power almost, has spawned what exists in many of us to this day, a deficient or a malformed view of God. Sometimes looking at that power, that dynamism, that energy that is the Lord our God, we miss the fact that He is also intimately involved with us. That there is a bond, a connection. There is something beyond just the universe or the cosmos that links us with the power that stands behind its creation. And what we see and we recognize in that beginning is that God is, was, and always shall be. That kind of power, though, as I've said, led to this malformed vision of God that says that God is so powerful, so awesome, so mighty, that he simply can have nothing to do with me. That God is so beyond individuals that he doesn't really care. It was the idea that philosophers glommed onto and came up with a new kind of form of thinking about God. It got called deism. But the belief pattern was there from the beginning. The idea is that there is a prime mover. Something put all this universe in motion. But the thing is, that power has no interest, none, in what's going on. Not individually, not bigger. He's a starter of, and then recedes into the background, allowing these cosmic rules like gravity and other things to continue apart from his presence. It is, as we can see and we wander through pandemics and wars and difficult times, it is a very easy vision of God to latch onto, a vision of a God that is careless, uncaring, removed from us, sets up a wonderful sandbox and then departs, who knows, to create other sandboxes. It's very believable. It's very believable if you don't have the Word of God. Because the Word of God comes against that idea time and time and time and time again. One can no not simply go into the Word of God and come out with the idea of a detached, immovable God any more than the Bengals probably stand a chance of winning tonight. And I'm not pulling for anybody, right? We'll see how it goes. But what the scriptures tell us is that there was an intimacy to our creation. This beginning had a connection point between God and ourselves. I read from Genesis 2. When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living creature. This isn't a detached, removed, absentee father. This is a hands-on father that has handcrafted us, humanity. Individually, corporately, God is our creator, and God's authorship cannot ever be undone. But it gets better. It gets better because the Word tells us there was an intentionality in your creation. You're not just some random collection of parts designed to perform some kind of automatomic function. You are an individual from the mind of our God that conceived you before he set into motion everything that was to be. We know that from Psalm 139. There we read, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being created in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." God formed you in his mind before there were any days to be had. This isn't a detached, uncaring, distant God. This is, in fact, a God whose hands, whose imprint upon you is indelible and everlasting. But we know sometimes beginnings don't quite get off to the start that we wished. We know that sometimes beginnings have the potential to be both wonderful and set in motion things that we wouldn't really desire. I can remember many, many years ago loving to play t-ball. I've shared with you my love for baseball. I didn't get the talent, but I got all of the love. And when I was about 7 years old, our team was great, and we were looking forward to another game. And then the rain forecast came, and I prayed to God that it wouldn't rain. It rained the next day, and I was angry. Angry at God for not giving me what I wanted. How familiar does that sound to y'all? Even though I was but a child, I wish I could tell you the dynamic stopped right then and there, that not getting something would see me change for the better, would see me accept the loss. But then I just got to go back and realize the stock from which I came. Because there was a stock that was handcrafted just like I was, that was set in a specific place in a specific time and was given specific instructions. And yet, right there in Genesis 3, one rule, we messed it up. I'll never forget making my first souffle ever. You know, I used to be a chef. And there are some feats in the culinary world that you brag about, right? And one of those is certainly making a souffle. Well, a souffle is nothing more than an egg mixture that's then baked in an oven. And it takes a little shape because of some flour you put in there. I think there are a lot of hoopla, but they're impressive to look at. Well, you've got to be very specific with a souffle because it's going to rise and take shape. And if it collapses, man, I'll tell you what, throw the thing out. And that's exactly what I did with that first souffle. Man, I cracked those eggs, I whipped them, I put the salt in, I put the flour, I put everything in there, popped it in the oven wasn't calibrated right, thing collapsed. Scraped it out, threw it away. And yet, when we come into the word of this God, what we find is that we weren't souffles. We weren't just eggs, some meaningless thing that can be discarded when things don't go well. Because what God did in those first moments following our fall was nothing short of the grace that we'll see manifested in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because instead of throwing the souffle that didn't rise away, God in fact gave Adam and Eve the greatest gift of all. He traveled with them east of Eden. He did not throw them away. This is a God that takes inauspicious beginnings and is able to do amazing things from them. Just go through a who's who of your scriptures, and what you're going to find is out of the chute, most of them had problems. Number one, Abraham. Abraham is told to trust God and all will go well. And as soon as he's able, he's pawning his wife off as his sister so she can marry another man so he can live. That's not much of a beginning. Certainly not for the man who has promised that his descendants would be greater than the sands of the ocean. What about Moses? Moses surely started with a bang, right? Well, if bang is killing a man in anger, sure. Moses got that bang. He had to flee. Was that the end of Moses' story right there because he had messed up? Did his beginning and end coincide right there as he slayed that Egyptian? It did not. In fact, we know that Moses goes on to lead the people just to the point of the promised land. Or what about David? David got off to a pretty good start, didn't he? He's a shepherd boy. The next thing you know, he's a king. But before the days would come, he stood up on his top of his balcony and saw Bathsheba. We know the rest of the story. This was David, a man after God's own heart. And yet what we know is his beginning collapsed. But was David forsaken by God? No. Neither was Peter, as he denied Jesus Christ. Neither was Paul, as he persecuted Christians. Those are all in their beginnings, in their beginning following of Jesus Christ. And yet, is there condemnation? Certainly not. There is nothing but the highest praise, for the Bible declares these people, especially Abram, to be the beginning of faith, really, in this world. That his response to God's call was so faithful. And throughout the days of his life, that faith grew and strengthened. You see, when we have a beginning that has problems, it's okay. It's okay because one has come before us. One has come before us with the knowledge that we were going to mess up to begin with. Right? We can't miss that fact. That was known to God before he even put us onto this, his creation. But that even though there is errors and mistakes, and let's face it, folks, there's sin in this world. There's the things that we're not supposed to do, but that we somehow find our ways doing nevertheless. And yet, if we lived in a closed-off universe, our fate would be sealed. If this was a deistic God that set up rules and left them to be minded apart from him, we're hosed. We got no hope. We're doomed to an eternal death. But what Jesus tells us in this, the Lord's word, is something different. There is, in fact, new birth, as amazing as that sounds. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the night wondering, and he asks Jesus in the Gospel of John, the third chapter. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can one enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Paul, a recipient of that new birth, writes about it in 2 Corinthians 5. He writes this, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." You see, this new birth, this new life that we're intended to come, it has a starting point. It has a beginning. It begins and happens at the font. And whether you were an infant or whether you were an adult, that is a new beginning. A new beginning in which some of the old can be rewritten. Some of the old can pass away. Some of the new can begin. And even if you have been baptized and find yourself languishing, struggling with sin, hear the good news. Repentance brings its own rewards. Repentance is embraced by God as the means by which God's children, the ones who were created, handcrafted before the beginning of the earth, are then allowed to live in a new and righted relationship with God. You've had that happen. You are in new creation, which means that the old has passed away. What's holding you today that's dark? Whatever it is, know that even though in your life it fights with the force of 100 dragons, today it's as dead as a doornail. Why? Because Jesus Christ is risen and the Holy Spirit is with us. Friends, you have a beginning, a new beginning, and it can happen this very day. If you're languishing in darkness, you can simply reach up to the Lord, your God, and ask him to come into your heart yet again. Because the promise and the pledge of the word is that our sins are forgiven not for what we do, but for what God does in us, which is make us believe in Jesus, which just doesn't happen by ourselves. It happens because that same God who loved us all enough to speak those words in the Garden of Eden continues to love us even now. We know that most especially through Jesus Christ, through his death and through his rising and his ascension into heaven. We know that a place is prepared for us in the kingdom. Oh, friends, and we know there's a new beginning coming. How do we know? We hear it in Revelation, in God's Word. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice calling from the throne, saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." Beginnings, dear friends, are wonderful things. Find yours, and find your wonder in God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting to turn our attention to our prayers, knowing and believing that God not only hears these words, but it does indeed respond. Join me as we pray. O most wonderful and merciful Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God, we come to you this day awed by your power. It's a power that flung 400 quintillion planets into the skies. And Father, even though we'll never even begin to count a portion of them, we are able to count our blessings. Included among them is the fact that you indeed decided in your love to create, and you decided in that same love to create us. And, oh Lord, we look at our bodies and we recognize that they are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made because they were handcrafted by you, our inward parts formed, oh Lord. Gracious God, but your word reminds us that we, like Adam and Eve, stray. We fall short of your glory. We do those things you would have us not do and leave undone those things that we should. And yet, Father God, your love for us was so great that even though we were as failed as that first souffle, you stayed with us. You stuck to us. You kept your promises even when we are woefully not keeping ours. And gracious God, in that space you kept us, sending prophets and priests through the years, and then in the fullness of time you sent Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And in his entry into the world, although it was attended by more animals than it was by dignitaries, O Lord, something was begun. Jesus called together a group of men and women, a church, and established for them a mission that every knee would bow, that every tongue confess Jesus Christ as Lord, for there in that confession is peace and humility, O Lord. And so we thank you for that great gift that you've shared with us, not only the gift of our salvation, but the gift of this, your church, in which we can pour our lives into with the certainty that we are doing your will and your work in the world. Gracious God, in this time and space, still broken by sin, we recognize that things happen. There are illnesses, there are losses, there are things that go bump in the night. And gracious God, your word reminds us that you are with us through them all. Heavenly Father, we pray today for all of those who continue to mourn loved ones, thinking this morning especially of Jeannie McClure and her family. Be with that family as they recover from this loss, O Lord. Gracious God, we think and pray for the members of our church as well. We pray for Jennifer Cheney, and we pray for Hayden Bolts. We pray for Cam McCrary. We pray for Pam Crosby. We pray for Mildred Alexander. We pray for Jack McClure. We pray for Jill Griffin. Heavenly Father, we pray for all of the names known on our prayer list. Gracious God, we don't know what each of those individuals need, but we know that you do. And so we ask, O Lord, Heavenly Father, that you would provide. Provide not only physical blessings, but most especially spiritual ones. Allow every member on that list, allow every friend of a member on that list to know you fully, to embrace your love, to receive your forgiveness, and to prepare for life everlasting. We pray for all of those members of our first responders. We pray for them because we know that they stand in the gap between ourselves and problems. Heavenly Father, we pray for our armed forces, just asking that wherever our members may be found, that you would keep them safe this day. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it was him who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting that we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the many blessings that you bring into our lives. And now, as we bring a portion of them back, we just ask that you would sanctify this offering, using it to your will and to do your work in this world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As I said, beginnings are always interesting things. I can't miss the fact that my beginning here at Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church began with about a month of normalcy before the world shut down, right? But here we are, about 2 years from that date. We're seeing more folks in the sanctuary. We're seeing more interest in the programming. Folks, we're moving forward, and it's a blessing. And I look forward to what the Lord is going to do with this new beginning that we've started this day. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forever. Amen.